Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's a beautiful summer weekend. Hopefully it is where you are. Well, actually, where I am in New York, it's kind of a peculiar late August weekend because it feels more like Memorial Day. It started out kind of cool and cloudy. You know, Memorial Day, everybody gets geared up the beginning of the summer, and then it's like cold. Okay, well, it's a little cold this weekend. But mercifully, we are having a pretty cool August in the Northeast. So much for global warming, I guess. And hopefully that's not a portent of an ultra-cold winter. I will probably get body slammed in September and October with an Indian summer with temperatures over 90. All right, 888-302-3684. That's our number. You can start dialing. We've got lots to talk about this hour. And going to start the program talking about a new medication. Well, actually, medication that's been around a couple of years. You know, atrial fibrillation is a huge problem in this country. And in fact, a very high percentage of people over a certain age, over the age of 70 or so in America, suffer from atrial fibrillation. It's actually a concomitant of aging. People live longer, their hearts go on the fritz, and they develop an abnormal heart rhythm. And that's okay, because you can survive with atrial fibrillation for many, many decades. It usually doesn't necessarily shorten your life, but it puts you at risk for a very serious problem, which is stroke. And in fact, I remember, you know, years back, I attended a high school reunion in Santa Monica, California, where I went to high school. This must have been just my 30th reunion. We've already surpassed our 45th reunion just recently. And I remember encountering a guy who I used to play with when I was a kid. He lived around the block, and we used to sit in his basement concocting all kinds of things in his chemistry lab. He literally became a rocket scientist. I became a doctor. He became a rocket scientist. But it all started in that basement laboratory. And I ran into him, and I noticed that his face was drooping on one side, and he had some difficulty talking. And I said, oh, my goodness, what happened? He said, well, I had, unbeknownst to me, atrial fibrillation. I didn't even realize I had it, but it was undiscovered. And then the way I discovered that I had it is I had a stroke. And they said, oh, my goodness, you have atrial fibrillation, and you should have had your blood thinned. Blood thinning is very important in atrial fibrillation. And a lot of people ask, what can you do naturally to thin the blood so you don't need to rely on a medication like Coumadin? Coumadin is a blood-thinning medication commonly used, but it's also its origin is that it was rat poison, literally. It was used to kill rats. How does it kill rats? It makes them bleed to death. It's a terrible way to go. But if used properly, it will simply thin the blood and won't make you bleed to death. The problem with Coumadin, though, is that it has a very narrow range of effectiveness. Either there's not enough blood thinning and you get a blood clot or a stroke, or it thins the blood too effectively and you start having bleeding episodes, sometimes very serious bleeding episodes. A lot of complications with Coumadin. It's inconvenient because you have to keep checking your INR. That's a measurement of how thick or thin your blood is. And there's certain dietary restrictions. If you eat too much of certain foods that contain vitamin K, or if you take vitamin K containing supplements, you neutralize the Coumadin. So it's a pain in the you know what. And so a few years back, I was very excited to learn. Yeah, I keep getting burned this way. I always am excited to learn of new drugs. I should learn my lesson that when these new drugs are so highly touted, I should go into it with a little spirit of caution. Like, this drug sounds great, but just wait and you'll see what happens. Well, such is the case with a new drug called Pradaxa, which is a drug that was designed to thin the blood, but without the fuss and bother of having to get your blood tested all the time to see how thick or thin it was. And, oh, by the way, you can eat whatever you want. And I remember a couple years ago, I was at a cocktail party, And there was a doctor there, a cardiologist. And, of course, whenever this always happens, whenever you get to parties, and if there's a doctor present, the doctors always end up talking to the doctor. So I'm, you know, talking shop with a doctor. And I'm saying, hey, you know, what do you think of this new drug, Pradaxa? And he shook his head. He said, oh, you know, it's a bit of a disappointment. We're concerned about side effects. We're kind of worried about that drug. He said, I don't use it very much with my patients. I'm worried that there may be some harmful side effects. Oh, okay. Disappointment. Well, I guess it was just last month, new information has come out in the form of a major article in the British Medical Journal that raises concerns about Pradaxa, and in particular about the regulatory process that fast-tracked its approval. The British Medical Journal conducted an investigation using Freedom of Information Act documents, and they discovered how company information about the details of monitoring blood levels of the drug were not shared with regulators. Now, this is important because the research showed that if you monitor blood levels of the drug, of Pradaxa, you can get a better idea of who is going to have a bleeding consequence from taking too much of the medication. You take too much, and just like Coumadin, it's going to cause you to bleed. But unlike Coumadin, there isn't really an easy antidote to an overdose. With Coumadin, just take a lot of vitamin K, and it'll stop the drug in its tracks. But with drugs like Pradaxa, there's no easy antidote. So it would make sense to monitor levels of the drug. But one of the selling points of the drug is that you didn't have to monitor levels. That's how they sold it to doctors. They said, you don't need to monitor levels. Well, it's no fuss, no bother. It's not like Coumadin. But what the British Medical Journal discovered is that they should have revealed data that monitoring levels of the drug reduced bleeding episodes by about 30-40%. And the drug was fast-tracked on the basis of just one clinical trial. But according to the British Medical Journal's investigation, the regulators, quote, had concerns about the design and oversight of the trial. And, you know, this is just an example of concealment and, in fact, outright chicanery by drug companies. By the way, Pradaxa bleeding episodes have been at the center of a series of lawsuits. And they've set aside a huge slush fund. The manufacturer Pradaxa announced in May of this year that it had agreed to pay, get this, $650 million to settle approximately 4,000 U.S. lawsuits over Pradaxa injuries. The injuries are due to excessive bleeding. And, you know, that's how it works these days, is you make a successful drug and all of those R&D costs. And, oh, by the way, you factor in the amount of money that you're going to have to pay out to people who are suing you for side effects of a drug that continues to be permitted. That's, I guess, the cost of doing business. Oh, you know, just we'll set aside $600 million to settle with these people who are having problems with the medication. We'll make many times that much. I guess they just consider that like breakage. You know, if you own a pottery barn, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of breakage. Well, if you own a pharmaceutical company, there's going to be a certain payout in lawsuits of people who are having adverse effects. Same thing with statin drugs. Same thing with osteoporosis drugs. We're seeing payouts. Yet these drugs continue to be authorized for general use. So what's the answer? Well, the answer, I mean, in my opinion, these new drugs have problems associated with them. What they should do is what they're doing in Europe, is allow levels of Pradaxa to be tested by doctors. That way they can see if levels are too high, just like monitoring Coumadin. But the problem is that the FDA has not authorized a blood test that's generally available to doctors and patients in the United States. You can get it in Europe, but you can't get it in the United States. And by the way, It was also suggested by British Medical Journal that they make available a low-dose Pradaxa for patients who might be at higher risk of bleeding. And that dosage level is not available. It's, you know, kind of one size fits all. And that will put people at higher risk. So check with your doctor. Look, bottom line, if you're on this medication, don't just precipitously go off on my say-so. But check with your doctor if there might be a more safe alternative. There are other medications like Xarelto, which are also on the market, not associated with these side effects. And then, of course, there's good old-fashioned Coumadin. And, oh, by the way, if you're on Coumadin, concerned about bleeding episodes, it turns out that fish oil actually may reduce episodes of harmful bleeding while on Coumadin. It sounds counterintuitive because fish oil is a blood thinner, but it actually reduces episodes of harmful bleeding. All right, 888-302-3684, that's our number. We'll take your phone calls momentarily. We got lots more to talk about on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots of subjects to cover this hour. We also invite your phone calls. We got several lines open, 888-302-3684 on subjects related to Intelligent Medicine, the best of high-tech and the best of natural medicine. Your questions welcome. 888-302-3684. All right, this week we did a podcast. Actually, it was last week. So you'd have to go back to last week's archives at drhoffman.com with a researcher named Dr. Matthew Budoff, who works at UCLA. And he did some research on the effects of aged garlic extract from the Kyolic company. You can get it over the counter. This is not a prescription formulation. On coronary artery calcification. He happens to be an expert on coronary artery calcification. And he discovered that you could slow the progression of coronary artery calcification, which is a sensitive marker of cardiovascular risk, with aged garlic extract. Just a couple of the cardiovascular formula daily. That's a formula that I take personally myself. You can find it at drhoffman.com and in retail stores. It's all over the place. They did the research. They validated that it works. He also happens to be an expert, and you can listen to the podcast. Go to drhoffman.com, find out more about it, because I asked him some questions about coronary artery calcium scoring. And this is something I've been talking about for years. And once again, I feel vindicated because I really seem to have been on the right track. I use this test as a test to determine who should be worried about cardiovascular risk. It's not uncommon that we get someone at the Hoffman Center who comes in and their cholesterol is high. And maybe their HDL is also high. But the concern is, you know, cholesterol, 280. What do? Should you be on a statin? Most doctors would say, yeah, you got to go on a statin because your cholesterol is high. But a lot of people would prefer not to go on a statin and run the risk of side effects. And if there's virtually no benefit, why should you? Well, we perform the coronary artery calcium scoring test. We prefer the EBT heart scan because it's lower radiation. There's also a CT scanning test, which measures calcium in the arteries. And now we have the results of research performed by Dr. Budoff. This had nothing to do with garlic. This has to do with the effectiveness of this test in assessing whether you're at risk for cardiovascular disease. So we'll sometimes discover that people, even with fairly reasonable cholesterol, they have a lot of calcium, and they really are at risk. So we got to go full-court press, maybe even consider a statin. Other times, we find that people with surprisingly high cholesterols, they have a score of zero. And so we can reassure them. It's nice to make that phone call. I call people up and they're overjoyed. No, you don't have any plaque. So come back to the office. We'll discuss how you can, undertake other aspects of health optimization. But there's little risk of heart attack when you have a score of zero. Here are the statistics from a new study. If you have a low coronary artery calcium score, 1 to 99, you are actually 50% more likely to die of heart disease than adults with a calcium score of zero. People with a calcium score of zero, virtually impossible. But, you know, your risk even goes up with a small degree of calcium, 1 to 99. Adults with moderate scores of 100 to 399 were 80% more likely to die from heart disease than those with a score of zero. So already we're starting to see risk. Now, get this. Those with a score of 400 or more were three times more likely to die from heart disease when compared to adults with no calcified plaque buildup or a score of zero. So I like this test. By the way, you know, even I consider a score of four or six, even though 50% more likely to die, well, that's 50% more likely than a very small likelihood. So, you know, if you have a very small likelihood, 50% more won't much increase your risk. But if you have a score over 400, you're three times more likely to die. That's significant. So Dr. Budoff says, quote, this long-term study builds on previous research conducted at UCLA that had proven the effectiveness of coronary artery calcium screening in predicting heart disease risk. Now, previously, he'd done studies in patients who were high risk. They had diabetes. They had, you know, very high cholesterol. They had risk factors. This is on an ordinary population of adults around the age of 50. And that's where I think the test can be important. So if you are an ordinary 50-something and, you know, you get to a certain point and say, hey, you know, my kids are, you know, college age. Will I see them get married? Will I see my grandchildren? You know, how can I read my tea leaves in terms of longevity and risk? Should I be taking statin drugs? Should I be undertaking greater precaution? Should I go full court press on diet, taking protective supplements like chiolic, resveratrol, vitamin D, vitamin K, fish oil? You know, the whole panoply of supplements to protect your heart. This test is very informative because a stress test ain't going to tell you whether you're going to get a heart attack unless you're very close to having narrowing of the arteries. That measures narrowing of the arteries, not just the presence of calcium. So consider the EBT heart scan, coronary calcium test, and we can then interpret it for you and provide you with a heads up on your risk. All right. 888-302-3684. I see we have some callers. We'll take your questions momentarily. And we'll also comment on the important issue. How should you take your probiotics? With food or on an empty stomach? New studies shed light on that important question. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. We got calls. By the way, if you can't call and you want your question answered, Just email us your question to a radio program at AOL.com. Now, we're not going to send you an answer. We just don't have time to answer all your questions. But we will, if your question is suitable, we will take your question and answer it on our weekly Q&A with Layla podcast. And then you can listen to it via drhoffman.com. Radio program at AOL.com for questions. Let's talk to Cindy in Brooklyn, New York. How you doing?
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi. A few months ago, I was feeling like a fluttering in my chest.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor, and he took an EKG, mm-hmm. and what he found was an extra heartbeat.
Yep.
So what he wants to do now is, because it bothers me so much, I mean, I have it like 24/7,
mm-hmm.
and he said we could try Topril XL, a beta blocker, mm-hmm. which would slow down the heartbeat.
Yep.
But I was told that that medication is for people who have high blood pressure. My blood pressure happens to be low.
So let me tell you about Topril XL. It's a beta blocker, and it is pretty effective at preventing extra heartbeats. If you have a racing heart, if you have palpitations, it will do that. But if the fact that you have low blood pressure concerns me, because it might further lower your blood pressure, make you feel weak and woozy. You know, mm-hmm. typically side effects of this category of medication, the beta blockers, you know, they include Inderal, Topril, Metoprolol. You know, there's a whole bunch of them. Many brand names. It's a very common type of medication. They include weakness and dizziness. Sometimes if you're asthmatic, they can make your asthma worse. They can actually cause swelling of the hands and feet occasionally. They can cause dizziness, which isn't good if you have low blood pressure. Dry mouth, and sometimes. So it would be better if you could naturally control your palpitations. So actually, I have an article that I just pulled up this week, which is interesting, vis-a-vis your problem. Headline, uh-huh. Exercise may protect older women from irregular heartbeat. Increasing the amount. Now, it sounds counterintuitive because like, oh, you know, my goodness, I've got a heart problem. I shouldn't exercise. Well, no, you have to gradually work into it. This is like a form of cardiac rehab. Where you gradually increase your exercise tolerance. But increasing the amount or intensity of physical activity can cut the chances of older women developing irregular heartbeat, according to new research in the Journal of the American Heart Association. Researchers found that postmenopausal women who were the most physically active had a 10% lower risk of developing atrial fibrillation. All right. So, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that this is necessarily the route for you, but in terms of natural things that help to stabilize heart rate, magnesium, in particular, the form of magnesium called magnesium taurate has a heart rate stabilizing effect. Lots of fish oil can help. The herbal medicine hawthorn can help with the heart rate. So these are some of the things that could make a difference. Coenzyme Q10, in some studies, has been shown to regulate the heart rate. And then also, you know, there's some elements of stress, lifestyle, learning relaxation techniques, breathing techniques, because adrenaline sometimes makes the heart rate go up. Avoiding caffeine, also stabilizing your blood sugar, making sure you're not hypoglycemic at times. This can help to reduce your arrhythmia. So it doesn't sound like you have a dangerous kind of arrhythmia. It's just unpleasant. The doctor wants to give you medication. Right. You could try it, see if it works for you. But preferable would be to treat it naturally.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, doctor. One more question.
Yeah, it's related to this.
If I was to take it and felt better, would it be a medication that I then would have to be on for like the rest of my life? Is this something that could go away?
No, it could go away, but don't think of this medication as something like penicillin for a cold. It's something that you would take to prevent the arrhythmias from happening. So sometimes with medications like this, you can take them for a couple of years and then try to wean off and see if the problem recurs. Sometimes you work your way through it. You know, it might be that just a temporary thing. All right. Okay. This is an item that I want to share with you because lots of questions come up around this subject. How should you take your probiotic? We actually did an in-depth program on the subject of probiotics. You can check it out at drhoffman.com. This week we talked to Dr. Fred Pescatore, who's an expert on probiotics. And the question came up, how should probiotics be taken, with food or on an empty stomach? Now, some doctors say, well, you shouldn't take probiotics with food because the food interferes with the action of the probiotics. Always take a probiotic on an empty stomach. But this actually doesn't make that much sense because the pH of the stomach, the acidity of the stomach, is high in the fasting state. It is very, very acidic. And if you throw a commercial probiotic into your gastrointestinal tract, say a pill or a capsule, it is very likely to be inhibited or destroyed by the acidity. Studies show that when probiotics are exposed to a pH of 1.5, that's a simulation of the effect of gastric fluid, all freeze-dried probiotics are killed. They need some acid protection. So by taking probiotics with food, the food buffers the acidity of the stomach. It raises the acidity of the stomach to 6, approximately. The stomach still stays slightly acid as the digestive juice works on the food. But at least the probiotic is protected from destruction. In addition, food contains prebiotics, which help the probiotics survive. So, for example, you find natural probiotics in yogurt. Well, that's a food source of probiotics. Natural probiotics are in live sauerkraut and kimchi and other fermented products. And the food that is provided with the probiotic helps the probiotic survive and thrive and then colonize your lower intestinal tract. So I come down on the side of taking probiotics with food. That is preferable. It's going to work better, ultimately. So check out the discussion at drhoffman.com with Dr. Pescatore. We'll go into more detail about probiotic recommendations. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and our next caller is Irving on a theme that we just covered, probiotics. How you doing, Irving?
Hello, doctor. Yes, I have a related question. I keep reading that most probiotics have dead bacteria because even in the refrigeration, there's a period of time when they will die. Now, is that true, or is there some probiotics that are definitely going to be live bacteria?
Yeah, it's actually not true. I think that most probiotics, at least under ideal laboratory conditions, can grow out bacteria, live beneficial bacteria. The problem is how does that translate to the human gut? So it's a little bit like the analogy if you're, you know, trying to turn the Sahara Desert into a fertile garden. You know, you can get the best seeds in the world and sprinkle them in the ground, and they're not going to take. And that's the problem. It's not so much the viability of the probiotic itself, but the receptivity of the person to growing healthy bacteria. And some people just don't have the right conditions in their GI tract. So, yeah, my personal recommendation, I mean, I use a variety of probiotics in my practice. One of my favorites is Dr. O'Hara's, happens to be a sponsor. You can find out more. Go to Essential Formulas, listen to the ads in our program. We talk about it a little bit on our podcast at drhoffman.com with Dr. Pescatore. You know, how do you know that they work? Well, one, you may achieve symptom relief. If you suffer from gas, bloating, indigestion, or constipation, you may have relief. To some extent, it's an act of faith because there are a lot of benefits to probiotics, which are sort of silent benefits. You may have improved immunity. You may notice that you have less frequent colds. You may notice even an improvement in mood or energy. You may notice that it's easier to lose weight because a beneficial blend of bacteria in your intestinal tract is associated with ease of weight maintenance. The GI tract controls a lot of things. And, you know, alternatively, you can do tests. We do tests. We measure levels of helpful versus harmful bacteria in the stool at our practice. We actually use a urine test to detect what's called dysbiosis or overgrowth of harmful or toxic bacteria. We can measure small intestine bacterial overgrowth, which is a condition of imbalance in the intestinal tract, by having patients blow into a bag, and it's a collecting bag. We then send the bag to a laboratory to measure the breath levels of gases associated with bacterial overgrowth. And alternatively, we can look for what's called the leaky gut syndrome, which is a condition that arises when the wall of the intestine is inflamed or damaged. So there are a variety of ways we can get at the state of the intestinal tract. But ultimately, you know, what we're looking for is we want you to feel better and notice improvement in whatever condition ails you.
Is it better to take a refrigerated probiotic or the non-refrigerated?
You know, I think some of the refrigerated brands are okay, but the brand that I prefer, Dr. O'Hara's, is a non-refrigerated brand, which is convenient. It comes in a blister pack. You can carry it around with you, carry it when you travel, carry it to work. And it's non-refrigerated. It actually exists well at room temperature, which is a good thing because, you know, in your GI tract, it's actually going to be at a high temperature. Your body temperature is, 98.6. So, yeah, that would, in my opinion, that's a preferable way to go. Thanks for calling, Irving. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Charlene, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm calling for my sister, who was recently diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune disease, Good Pastures.
Good Pastures. Okay, yeah, I got to tell you, I've never seen a case personally of Good Pastures disease in my practice. It is rare, but it does affect the kidneys. It does affect the kidneys, that much I know, correct?
Correct. It affects the lungs as well. Her kidneys were aggressively attacked, and she's now on dialysis.
I actually remember something from medical school, which is pretty good. Okay,
it was like 30 plus years ago. Yeah, it's on every medical exam. When she was in the hospital, we felt like we were on Dr. House because they couldn't diagnose her at first.
Exactly.
It was very difficult. Yep. I didn't know if there was anything, if you could help in an alternative way in any way. I don't know, because her kidneys, the glomeruli, were pretty much destroyed.
Right.
She's on dialysis now. We're hoping it doesn't attack her lungs. She's on Cytoxan. And
so she's on immune suppressive medication, powerful immune suppressive medication. So here's my take on this. I mean, the medical conditions that I see in my practice divide roughly into two types. One, you know, generic types of problems like diabetes, hypertension, atherosclerosis, cancer, you know, things that are, you know, we know that there are certain things that can be done nutritionally because these are common conditions and they have nutritional concomitants. There are ways to approach them nutritionally that are tried and true. And then there are conditions that are like, oh my goodness, you know, I will assure you, there is no study of nutrition on good pastures disease. It's too uncommon a condition and they just wouldn't do it. However, you can extrapolate some of the principles of other autoimmune conditions that are more prevalent to this condition. Conditions like lupus, for example, or conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, which are, you know, inflammatory conditions where the body attacks itself. That's the nature of autoimmunity. And so, you know, what we might do in a case like this, we have to be very careful because we don't want to mess up the conventional therapy or harm the patient. The patient's on dialysis, and you have to be careful what you give a person on dialysis because they don't filter things out well. But things that could be helpful and, you know, pretty innocuous things, fish oil could be helpful. It might add a sort of a hamburger helper effect to the immunosuppressive medications. You might take a product called ModuCare, which is a mild immune suppressant that can be used in autoimmune disease. It's actually made by the same company that makes Kyolic aged garlic extract. We like to use it for autoimmune problems. And of course, there's vitamin D. Vitamin D is often helpful in autoimmune conditions. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts, they start with a D, by the way, that your sister is low in vitamin D. It's almost invariable in autoimmune diseases, and higher levels of vitamin D are often necessary in patients who are on dialysis. So this could help her. And then there might be effects of things like vitamin E. Higher doses of vitamin E may help to reduce inflammation. It should be the maxi gamma kind of vitamin E that's rich in gamma tocopherol. That would be a useful adjunct. And then we would also want to do a little detective work. Is there something precipitating this? Is it because of a critical nutritional deficiency? Is it because of a food allergy, possibly a food intolerance that promotes inflammation? That would be important because we actually seem to help conditions by taking patients off of gluten or taking patients off of dairy, whatever it turns out. All right. It's been an interesting session, interesting phone calls. Thanks very much for joining us on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. Remember that this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine phenomenon. We've got podcasts. We've got a great newsletter. We've got articles that we post at drhoffman.com. And you can check them all out. And I hope that you enjoy them. Have a great weekend. And please join us again next weekend. Hey, it's Labor Day, but we'll be there. We're not taking a weekend off. And we'll provide you with an accompaniment to your holiday weekend next week on Intelligent Medicine.